Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vincent. That's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
Come and take me to the airport. Come and pour me on that plane. Cause I've got no expectations to ever pass this way again.
For a minute there, you looked like Hitler. Because your audio and your video didn't match up when you were like,
"Das Frieden kein eine kleine kleine Knacksmusik eine kleine ein kleiner Knacksding in a Knackwurst der Kaiserreiger." You know, after taking many years of German in school and being in Germany and being able to speak German and understand German, I still haven't, I don't know why I haven't done this. Maybe this is my YouTube assignment tonight. I haven't gone back and listened to some of those Hitler speeches, you know?
Yeah.
Because when we were kids, it was just like a bunch of and now I could listen to it and it would be like, "And we should reduce the cost of health care because it's not right that somebody should go bankrupt because of a medical condition." Yeah. You know, he might be saying that. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be hysterical if that was the case?
He could be like, "I just think we're all better off when we spread the wealth around a little bit. That's all I'm saying." Yeah, Hitler, woo!
Who's with me?
Who's with me? Do you know why Hitler had that funny mustache? I just learned this recently. Let's give Paul Volstorff a minute to call in, because I'm sure he knows. No, he had that funny mustache. So, you know, Hitler was in World War One, right? And he went through the horrors, and he was injured. He spent time in the hospital, stuff like that. Well, he also had to wear the gas mask. So when he was younger, and there are pictures of him as a soldier in World War One with a regular mustache, right?
One of those crazy World War One era mustaches.
Yeah. One of those. But you couldn't get a seal with the gas mask with the mustache that went all that. So you had to shave like the sides of your mustache off to get the gas mask to seal correctly on your face.
How important is a mustache?
I know, right? I'd just be like,
20 years later, you'd still be wearing the same mustache. I mean, well, unless it was a symbol or something.
Thank you. That good segue. And so his it sort of became like German men who had suffered through World War One kept the mustache as a way of saying, "Look, you know, I'm a veteran. I suffered through this with everybody else. I'm not just some." And it, you know, a lot is said about the Treaty of Versailles and causing World War II, but one of the things that allowed Hitler to rise to prominence and eventually dictatorship was he tapped into a frustration that a lot of military people had in Germany, which was they thought they could possibly still win that war if they had the support of the people back home. They felt like the people on the home front gave up on them. And so his whole shtick was kind of like, "I am from that generation. I fought in that war. I'm a veteran. Who's with me?" And the mustache was kind of a symbol of, "Look, I'm a veteran of the First World War. I was in the trenches. I'm badass. I got the mustache to prove it."
I was in the trenches of World War One, and all I got is a stupid mustache.
Anyway, speaking of Germany, you know, we have a miniature pincher that my wife found on the mean streets of Indianapolis.
Right. And,
yeah, you know about. His name is Basil.
Yes.
His name used to be Tank. The person that abandoned him on the streets named him Tank. So there's no way we're keeping that name. We're like, no. No, you don't get to name this dog. And then when we rescue it after you abandon it, you don't get to know that he kept the same name. So Simone That's decided right. he needed a plant name because we have the dog Poppy, which is a flower.
I wondered about that.
She's like,
I mean, not about a poppy, but
he needs funny. The name of a plant. So she chose an herb rather than a flower, although I'm sure the flower of a basil plant is probably pretty cool. But so she chose that. And the German connection, of course, is he's a miniature pincher, which is, I didn't know this, but there's more than one kind of pincher. Like, we always think of the Doberman pincher, right? But the Doberman pincher is just one variety of pincher. And they're all related to the German pincher. And then the miniature pincher has been around for like 600 years as a pet. Now, Basil specifically has not been around that long, although he looks that old.
He's an old dog.
He's an old dog. So anyway, so we have this. That's the connection to Germany. That's a smooth segue. Little leaguers out there thinking about starting your own podcast. You study that last minute and a half. That's what we in the business call a smooth transition.
That's right. It don't get much. It's like you know, don't get much smoother than that.
I mean, if you're talking about Hitler and you want to move on to talk about your family pet, I mean, how do you get there from there? I mean, you can't just abruptly like record scratch over, right? This bores me. It's like George Takei meets Prince. This bores me. Oh my. Who's up for a game of basketball? Anyway, so Basil is this little 12-pound dog, and it's funny because he's tiny, but he looks tough. He's got the giant barrel chest, and when he walks with a swagger. And the voice we've come up with for him, if he were to call in, it would sound something like this. He'd be like, "Hut, that's right, I'm tough. I'm from the streets. I lived on the streets. When I lived on the streets, nobody messed with me. Hut, I take care of myself. Hut, I had a friend named Butch. Butch was homeless. And we looked out for each other. That's what you do on the streets. Hut." Anyway, so, you know, I've been hearing this phrase lately. Let's put a pin in that. I'm like,
yeah.
God, I hate that phrase. I don't want to put a pin. Yeah. In a statement. I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want to table that for a second, which I also hate. It's been around longer, so I'll accept it. So, you know, my daughter went to Florida recently with a friend of hers.
Yes.
She brought Simone back a souvenir, which is a little mermaid that's about 2 inches long. You put it in water. And over the course of a few days, it soaks up the water and grows to like a foot. And so it goes from like 2 inches to like foot and a half, right?
Right.
I don't know what you got to do to make it do that because Simone's had it in water for a while and it hasn't been, it's gotten a little bit bigger, but it's like, I can't figure out. I think it's got to be in a tank of water. You can't just put it like in a little cup of water. But anyway, mermaid.
Yeah. Because it requires a certain amount of water. So, yeah, a cup isn't going to work. Like, throw it in a pool, and, like, tomorrow it'll be, like, the size of the pool. You know?
It'll be like Dara Hannah will be swimming around in your pool. Or it'll be like Clifford the Big Red Dog. Next thing you know, bigger than your house. So, anyway, that's been fun. So, that's been going on. All right, so back to Basil. So at some point today I get a text that says, we have to take Basil to the vet. I'm like, okay. he ate Simone's expanding mermaid. I'm like, oh,
oh man. And then it chooses to expand.
And the next thing you know, Basil's like Clifford the Big Red Dog.
He's got a fishtail hanging out of his behind. You
know? He's a Mer-Dog.
Mer-Dog.
He's the eighth wonder of the world. There's another variety of pincher. It's the Mer-Pincher.
The Mer-Pincher.
He's no longer mini. He's awfully big, but he looks awfully thin. Like his, like if you stuck him with a needle, he'd blow up. Like some giant pincher
looks
balloon.
Looks like a big puffer fish.
A puff pincher. So they took him in to the vet. Mm-hmm. The vet tried to get him to throw up the mermaid, which reminded me of John Dies at the End. There's this scene where their dog eats a burrito, but the burrito is actually it's a bomb disguised as a burrito. So they're trying to get the dog to shit the bomb. And they're just going on, they're going, "Come on, Molly, shit the bomb. You have to shit the bomb, Molly, come on." And so my daughter is texting me like play by play. She's like, "The vet's now trying to get Basil to throw up the mermaid." And I'm like, "Come on, Basil, throw up the mermaid. Come on, puke the mermaid, Basil."
Right, and then your dog develops like bulimia after that, you know.
Yes, but becomes a very, very impactful poet.
Yes, yes, with great cheekbones. And
I can write poetry. I used to write poetry when I was on the streets. Listen to this. Hut, hut, hut. There's a mermaid. Hut, and I ate it. Hut. Thank you.
Only. Yes. Yeah. But dogs can't snap, though. They have no thumb.
True.
They'd be like,
they have no thumb.
They would just be making the motions.
They're
the only
going,
problem with a. Yeah. The only problem with a bulimic dog is the dog would just eat the vomit again.
That's true. It's a bulimic dog who is at his ideal weight. Now, Basil has been known to eat his own poop.
You only got to feed him once, you know.
The time that I saw him eat one of his own turds, I thought I was going to throw up. And we've talked about this. I mean, we're dads, right? We've been shit on. Mm. We've been puked on. I was laying in bed one time.
There's not much.
And my 18-month-old daughter was laying on my chest and, like, evacuated the entire contents of her stomach onto my chest. And I couldn't move. I woke up I'm, like, reaching over. I'm like, honey.
Yeah,
because
you had, like, the puddle. And you
I couldn't move.
Yeah,
like... big-ass puddle on my chest. I was like, honey, wake up, wake up. She's like, what? I was like, Simone threw up. She's like, well, go take care of it. I was like, no, you don't understand. There's like a pond on my chest right now, and if I move, it's going to get all over the bed. She looks over. She's like, oh. She just went and got a bunch of towels and stuff, and Simone's looking at me like and just like, oh, yeah, you're so adorable. Like, you feel better. So I've been through that. But when I saw this dog, like, pick up a turd and just like, turd. I was like, oh God, I'm going to be sick. Oh. So then he did that with a mermaid today. So they couldn't get him to throw it up. Like, he wouldn't throw it up. Mm-hmm. So you know what's coming. Surgery.
Yeah, the S word.
And I'm like, this is the moment. This is one of the moments in my life where I would not mind having turned into my dad. I mean,
yeah,
there are a lot of times.
Life was simpler back then.
Oh, it sure was. There are times when I do stuff my dad would have done and my dad would do now, and I'm like, oh God, I'm turning into my dad. I don't want this. Today, I was like, God, I wish I was my dad. Well, first of all, this dog would have been dead a long time ago if I was my dad.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
We never would have brought him in the house, A. Number two, if we had brought him in the house, he wouldn't have stayed very long. Three, the first time he had a vet bill, it would have been like, I ain't no way. And finally, if he was lucky enough to make it far enough to swallow a toy mermaid that expands to 9 times its own weight, and if he swallowed that mermaid of his own volition through no fault of anybody's except his own, I'd be like, well, that dog's lived a good life. He should have been dead 3 years ago.
My philosophy is, if he's dumb enough to do that, he's dumb enough to die. Why would you do that?
It's like, well, there's still hope. He might shit the mermaid. Like, we might see him walking around like with either a tail or a head sticking out of his ass, right? And if he does, great. Funny story to tell people, right? And if he doesn't, he's a dead dog, right? Mm-hmm. But I ain't spending like 3 months worth of house payment on a damn surgery for a dumbass dog, right?
It's so obscene. And then have you ever had like pet health insurance?
No, but I'm thinking about getting it. Cause damn.
My kids' grandmother, my ex-mother-in-law, she had it for Thor, the dog, her dog. And I'm like, man, it must be nice to have nothing better to do with that much money on a monthly basis. You know, and it doesn't cover anything. I mean, it barely covers medication. So, no, I don't advise it. I think it's just something a scam they've cooked up. But no, it's vet bills. Forget about it. Like our cat. Forget about it. I don't want to tell you how much money I spent on this stupid cat.
I know.
It's just, really, like you said, it's, if I were my dad.
Well, and this is an amount of money. This is an amount, first of all, we can't afford it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I make a pretty decent living. And we really can't mm-hmm. afford it. So people that don't make a decent living, it'd just be a dead dog, right? Yeah. I mean, what would they do?
Yeah.
What do you tell your kids? Do you tell your kids, like, well, if we had more money, he could live? Or do you tell them, like, there's nothing they can do? I mean,
well, he had a good life. There's nothing
he had a good run,
do.
Right? Or do you go, that's what you get mm-hmm. for bringing that mermaid in the house. You remember this. The rest of your life, okay? I want you to know.
Now that would be something our dad would do. I don't think we'll
exactly.
do that. It's your fault the dog's dead. That's not something.
That's right. In fact, the dog would be the one that would get out of the whole situation. What am I trying to say? The dog's outcome would be the best out of everyone's, because at least he's out of his misery. Like he has a merciful killing, you know, shotgun blast to the head, shovel to the neck, you know, right? Boot to the belly. I don't know, but it's
boot
over.
What the hell?
I don't know. I don't know what they did when they took him out in the woods. I assume they shot him, but
it was like. Well, what was that movie, that Coen Brothers movie we were talking about? They take the guy out into the woods. Damn it, we had this conversation once on the show, and then after we couldn't remember the name of it. Then afterwards, I looked it up. But anyway, go ahead, continue.
8 heads in a duffel bag?
No.
Get him to the Greek?
Stop.
So anyway, where was I? Yeah, so the dog... Of all the outcomes, the dog has it the best, because the wife, the mom, has to now realize that she's powerless to protect these kids from this emotional abuse, right? Mm-hmm. So she's got to live her like she's already done. She's gonna have to pop some more pills or just kill herself, right? And the kids, the kids have to live the rest of their life like as kids. They're forming these mental maps that are going to guide how the rest of their life goes. And they just, it's like that movie Inside Out, that cartoon, where it's like a long-term memory now. It's a core memory. You go,
yeah.
Oh, if I have something that brings me joy and I bring it into the house, it'll kill something I love. Therefore, I can no longer have anything that brings me joy. Next thing you know, they're like 85 years old, and they don't want their grandkids to stay with them because they're afraid that the grandkids will die because they have a cat that brings them joy.
It's like that Louis C.K. joke about, you know, you bring the cat. Look, kids, I brought you something in 14 years is going to make you cry.
What a top.
I got a problem with Louis C.K.
Hmm.
He's funny and everything, and he did create Pootie Tang.
Right.
But he disavowed himself of Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
He said he basically says it was a mistake. He wishes he had never made it.
Yeah.
And part of me believes it has something to do with pressure from, I don't know. I mean, Wanda Sykes was in it, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda Sykes, you know, so it can't be that people were offended.
Yeah.
Right? Wanda Sykes, lesbian black lady.
Right.
You know?
And Robert Vaughn.
Excuse me. And Robert Vaughn. But I think, it got bad reviews. So Louis C.K. is like, oh, it got bad reviews. I guess I better pretend I didn't like it.
Yeah, except for... Like it.
I don't know.
Except for in the in his TV show, which, by the way, I hated. He was dating this girl briefly. And I noticed she was wearing Pootie Tang's belt buckle.
Mm.
So, yeah. Hey, I don't know what the deal is.
Superfan James, what's the Rotten Tomatoes on Pootie Tang?
He's not on the show. He's
you
not,
sure?
Yeah, he's not here.
Hang on. Just let him speak for himself. Well, I guess he's not. He's either not or he's not talking to us. I don't know which.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right, that's enough about that. Basil, sorry. I'm not done yet. So Basil had the surgery. He came out of it okay. He's resting comfortably. He's still in the hospital, but he's expected to make a full recovery. would like to ask my prayer warriors and all my friends and family, prayers are welcome.
Do you have like the Basil symbol for the Facebook profile pictures?
Yeah, you mean like the thing you put on your profile picture, the flag or whatever?
Je suis Basil.
Oh, man, I am so totally going to get that, the Wrigley Field thing that says save Ferris.
Yeah.
Like, save Basil. Save Basil. I started GoFundMe. Oh, you know, we got to save Basil. Bless his heart. We got to get him to live another year and a half so that he can live out his entire life expectancy.
And eat some other goddamn thing.
When he's not eating turds, he's eating expanding mermaids. That's probably another character that should call into the show. Expanding mermaid.
This is expanding mermaid. Bring me a bucket.
Get monsieur a bucket.
Body image is a really serious issue. And I feel like sometimes I'm a cross between that guy that throws up a lot in Monty Python and the bug guy in Men in Black. But anyway, I'm expanding mermaid, and yes, I'm a woman. How dare you think I'm not a woman? I've been looking for that 130,000-year-old mastodon because he's kind of hot. God. You know what we need?
Another character on the show?
We need half a dozen people to play all these characters.
Right.
And we need a staff of writers to write a bunch of stuff for them to say.
Yeah, because, you know, this shit, week after week, man, this shit gets, you know.
It's taxing. It is taxing. I don't know how Rob Petrie and Buddy and Sally did it. Maury Amsterdam and what's her name?
Lots of booze and cigarettes.
Well, not to mention, you know, my friend Adam, he sometimes writes comedy for these like things like the Emmys and the Oscars and stuff like that. He says it's not, he doesn't, it's like nine people writing jokes, right? So you don't have to be the one that thinks of all the funny shit. Like, you got nine people. Somebody's going to come up with something. That having been said, he has his own podcast, which is like 2 hours a day. And for two freaking hours, the man is spewing like hilarity. He's like a freaking nature, this guy. I wish he'd come on our show just to, you know, so I could ask him how he does it. Like, he could describe for our listeners. He's super busy. Lives in California. He just doesn't, I mean, I could never, you know how it is. People, you know, even though they're your friend, they're like busy with their own shit, right?
Right, right.
Speaking of friends who are busy with their own shit, our good friend and friend of the show, oh, I always forget his middle name. Is it William? A. William Wright?
Yes, no, yeah. A. Yeah, yeah.
It is A. William?
I'm pretty sure.
He's not the William Wright. Well, we should make sure, because if we're going to plug somebody, we should plug them right.
I always sound like gangsters.
Or gay. All right, so speaking of friends with their own shit to do, our good friend A. William Wright, we call him Andy.
That's right.
But he is A. William Wright, not the William Wright. But you can follow him on Twitter at A. William Wright. And he has written portions of a new book called The New Aleph. The New Aleph, I barely knew the old Aleph. And you can go to his podcast. We'll put a link to it on our Facebook page and check out, you know, what he's doing. I think it's kind of interesting. He's writing this book, right? It's a novel. And he was on our other show, The Rough Draft, that we did three episodes of. And he read the introduction to it. And I found it fascinating. Science fiction, multidimensional, with a detective twist, sort of murder mystery sort of thing. And I thought I was hooked. And then what he's decided to do is release his novel as an audiobook, but each chapter will be another podcast episode. And so people that like our humor and like our approach to entertainment and our interests, I think, would enjoy it. I listened to the first chapter a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And it's good. Have you listened?
I have not got to it yet. No, I've reread the his prologue a couple of times, but re-listened to his prologue a couple of times when I was editing the show, but I haven't got the chance to listen to chapter one yet, or chapter two.
Yeah, definitely recommend people listen to chapter one, the prologue. If you like the prologue, listen to chapter one. I'm looking forward to chapter two. Yeah. One of the reasons I'm looking forward to chapter two, which is episode three, is he's going to plug our show on that one.
Oh, well, then hold on. Yeah, I read chapter two. It was great.
No, he hasn't.
I highly recommend
it. He hasn't put chapter two out yet.
Oh, I read chapter one. It was great.
Brought to you by YouTube Red.
No, Andy's a great writer, dude. Like I said on the Rough Draft show, you know, he and I met as writers, and this is the stuff that the group that we belong to. I, out of the 8 or 10 people that were on that, his was easily in the top three as far as, you know, some of the best stuff out there, and that was several years ago. So yeah, he's a good writer.
Good writer, good guy, funny.
Yeah.
The thing that I haven't figured out yet, though, and maybe we should have him on sometime to talk about religion, because I know that he's Christian and he's a devout Christian.
Right.
However, he doesn't fit my preconceived notion of devout Christians.
He and I have actually had conversations because I needed some research for this project I'm working on. And he actually found me. I mean, I'm not writing a religious thing, but we found the basis in very. He found various sources for the basis for the information that I needed, and was really cool about, you know, talking with it. And I prefaced it with that I'm not really a religious person, and he wasn't like, oh well, you know, you're gonna burn in hell, so I'm not gonna tell you. You know, he's not one of those. He's not one of those kind of guys.
He's like, I follow a religion of peace and a religion that Jesus Christ compels us to go and save as many people as we can. And you're like, oh, I'm not that religious. He's like, oh, you're fucked. See ya. Can't work with you. No, yeah, Andy's not that kind of guy.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, give it a listen. We'll post a link on our Facebook group. Well, we have already, actually, and we share whenever a new episode comes. Oh, it's called Worlds of Mibar. If you go to iTunes and search for Worlds of Mibar, M-E-B-A-R, you will find it, and you will listen to it, and you will like it. You'll subscribe, and you'll give a positive review. All right. Be right back.
Got this new pit bull terrier. Thing's better than a credit card. Went to the gas station the other day. Got a couple gallons of gas, some oil, spark plug, six pack. Man says that'll be $15.41. I say, well, goddamn, I forgot my wallet, but I did bring my credit card.
Do some headlines.
Whenever you're ready, man. I'm just doing the song in my head.
I don't know. My mood is different now than it was when I picked these headlines.
Well, we don't have to do headlines.
I can pick some different headlines.
Yeah, we got time. I'm not doing anything.
Here's an interesting thing. So I'm going to be starting a new podcast, sort of a solo venture.
Mm-hmm.
For business, and it's going to be, I mean, I thought about asking you to join me, but I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work yet.
Right.
So
I'll be more than happy to help you work on editing and stuff if you need it. I mean, I won't put in, you know, change the channel, Marge.
What a die.
No, but if you need any help with the editing, let me know.
I appreciate that. So here's, you've already helped me some because I was trying to find a theme song for it.
Mm-hmm.
And So my thought was, okay, I started out with the Fanfare for the Common Man.
Right.
By, what's his name?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. And I love that. Like, and I thought, that's the kind of feel that I'm going for, because the name of the podcast will be Independent Mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, it's about the future of how we are going to relate to the economy, how you're going to make money, okay, how you're going to take care of your family, how you're going to, basically how you're going to get by in this world. And it's interesting because we all think of it as, well, look, you're supposed to go to school, learn about college, go to college, or learn a trade, go do a trade, go get a job, contribute to your 401k, take your 2 weeks of vacation a year, you know, get your weekends off. Thanks, unions. You got us 2 days out of, you know, it's like people brag, like the union people always want to brag. They're like, hey, if you like having the weekends off, thank a union member. You know, it's like, oh, congratulations. You got us out of 365 days a year, you know, you got us like a third of those off. Good job. Right.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, not only that, but how many people do you know that actually have 2 days off in a row?
Mm. Right. Yeah. A lot of people work, you know, working their ass off, and salaried people, like, you go, oh, well, you go to college, you get a good job. It's like those people work 50, 60 hours a week. A lot of times on the weekends, they get no respect from their management. I see it on a regular basis. They're just cogs in a wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get this mindset of, oh, but if I just put in my time and just keep my nose down, like just be a good performer, it'll be recognized and I'll get promoted and everything's going
to
be great.
I want to crawl my way to middle management.
Exactly. So my podcast is going to be about how that we've been lied to all these years. And mm-hmm. there is another way, and it's called independence.
Right.
And it's not inventing something new. It's rediscovering something we used to have. If you look at 200, 250 years ago, mm-hmm. everybody was a farmer.
Right? Yeah.
80, 90% of people in the United States had a farm. And what is a farm? It's an independent business.
Yeah.
Right? You eat what you kill. You go out there, you grow crops, you are making all the decisions. If you want to work today, you work. If you don't want to work today, you don't. But you realize that if you don't, something's not going to get done. But mm-hmm. there's some satisfaction that comes from knowing you are responsible for going out there and making it happen. You're not showing up on somebody else's farm and saying, okay, what would you like me to do today? And just make sure you keep paying me my salary, right? Well, the world's returning to that.
This is sounding an awful lot like Of Mice and Men. Why on the days that we don't want to work, well, we just won't have to. We'll just drink buttermilk by the fire, George.
Can I keep him?
Live off the fat of the land.
The fat of the land. There's not a lot of fat on the land. It's a problem. Unless you're in an avocado orchard. Avocados grow on trees, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or an almond orchard. Almonds have a lot of fat in them. So anyway, that's what it's about. And I decided what I'm going to do, because obviously I can't get like A-list people to interview mm-hmm. on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought of a loophole. There's nothing that says I can't talk about these A-list leaders.
Right.
Like Seth Godin is one of my... one of the guys that I pay a lot of attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really well known. Malcolm Gladwell. It's why I posted that inspirational book thing on Facebook.
Right.
I wanted to get some ideas. And so like Malcolm Gladwell, Seth Godin, the other dude that wrote that other book.
Yeah, him. And, that was my favorite one.
The other guy. So I figure, you know, I can come up with at least three or four half dozens of names, and each week I'll just do 20 minutes on that guy and like his philosophy and and how he inspired me and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the independent mindset. So I was like, what kind of theme music would that be? And I started off with the Fanfare for the Common Man. And then, you know how YouTube, when you listen to one thing, it says, here's some other stuff you might want to listen to.
Yeah.
Superman kept coming up. And I was like, boy, if I could use Superman, what says independent power better than that John Williams?
Yes.
Superman theme, right?
Yep.
Fortunately, it's still under copyright.
Yeah.
I'd probably get sued at some point.
Yeah.
So I went and I listened to, here's one that I listened to. This is kind of, hang on a second. This is Steve Vinson. This is the Independent Mindset Podcast. The podcast for people who want to forge their own destiny.
Hey, how you doing?
So that's pretty good. Hey, how you doing? So that's Dvorak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, he's. I like his stuff a lot.
And then I kind of like this one, too. This is Mahler, Fifth Symphony. This is people applauding. This is Sir Simon Rattle from the Berliner Philharmoniker. Philharmoniker, I just met her. This is Steve Vinson. This is the Independent Mindset Podcast. The podcast for kings who have lost their kingship and want to go back to Middle Earth and take back their kingdom after defeating Mordor.
Who's with me?
Who's with me? It really makes you wonder, mostly about other things. And then you suggested Gustav Holst.
Yes. Anything on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it just makes you realize there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
And so that's one thing it makes you realize. The other thing it makes you realize is if you want to know anything about music or you need to find some music that makes you feel a certain way, just all you got to do is ask Paul. Don't Google it.
I'm your guru.
Don't Google it. Paul it.
That's right.
Paul Schultz it.
That's right. That's why I'm here, man.
Yeah. You're my music guru. I appreciate it. Well, anyway, so some form of, there was those two, and then there was the a couple of Holst pieces that I liked. I'll come up with something out of those. And the nice thing about the classics is those guys have been dead a long time. It's all public domain.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. It pretty much is.
So, plus, I don't even know if they had copyrights back then. It was the old days.
Yeah. That's probably why they are public domain.
That having been said, I do have, we're not really going to do a headline segment tonight, but there is this interesting thing. The average age is actually rising. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are living longer and having fewer children.
Well, that'll do it.
Per person. So in 1950, the average global life expectancy was like barely 50. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you made it to our age, and I remember this from back in the day, I remember people who were 60 were ancient. They could die any day.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Somebody died at like 65. You're like, oh, hey, they had a good long life. Yeah, right? Had a good run.
Long life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember being like 10. I remember being 10 and going, oh, man, I'm like 1/6 of the way there.
Right? Nothing good ever happens. It's like my mom used to say, ain't none but meanness happens after midnight. It's like, ain't none good happens after 60. So today, the average global life expectancy is around 72. That's global. Mm. That's not just in Israel, where people live forever, or Sweden, where they have health care. It's global. That includes the United States, where we have the world's worst health care and cops murdering people.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a hundred years' time, our life expectancy is doubled. The human life expectancy is doubled in 100 years.
According to this article, by the year 2100, it's projected to be over 83 years.
Mm-hmm. And that's average. That's not like, you know, you're not, you know, like my parents, they just hit their 80s, you know, and it's like, that's rare, but in, you know, in however long it's going to be, that's going to be the average. So the rare will be like 125.
if things continue as they have been, if we continue to have relative stability, peace, and shit like that, you're absolutely right. We'll be amazed at what goes on, because medical technology is going to grow, nutritional technology, understanding how the food we eat impacts our health and the types of things we can do to enhance our chances to live longer, reduce chances of chronic and acute diseases. I mean, if they solved heart disease, just take heart disease, right? If they solved, like, if they even made a huge improvement on heart disease, which they've made huge improvements, that alone. And then self-driving cars. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but something like 350,000 Americans a year die in car accidents. Because while it's amazing how good we are at driving cars, if you think about the basic programming and the basic hardware and software that we have as human beings hasn't changed in about a million years.
Right.
Yet we're able to drive a car, you know, 80 miles an hour down a highway with like dozens of other cars around us. That's amazing. But compared to how a computer can do it, we suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go from 350,000 a year dying on the highways to like less than 10,000 easily within 50 years. And if you do that, that average goes way up.
Right.
To your point.
Right.
And if you're lucky enough to make it to 90, if you're lucky enough not to die in a car accident or be killed by a self-aware iRobot, you know, that Will Smith wasn't able to protect you from.
That's right. Well, I think one of the other things is, first of all, you know, we missed the boat because self-driving cars would have made family vacations so much more enjoyable, because your dad wouldn't have been such a damn grouch having to drive for like 32 hours straight. But I think the main thing that, one of the main things that is extending lifespans is the fact that nobody smokes anymore. I mean, smoking is, next to shooting yourself in the face, is probably the worst thing you can do to yourself.
shooting yourself in the face, and then a close second, smoking.
I think that by there,
well, smoking's a relatively recent phenomenon.
Yeah, though. But if you,
I mean, it's one of those things.
I think that
it's sort of like the ideal the supposed ideal living of the 50s. Smoking was only a thing for about 80 years.
Yeah, but I also think, though, that the average age lifespan, say 100 years ago, versus what it was at the height of the smoking era, the increase couldn't happen the way it was supposed to because of the smoking. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I got you.
Like it was something that was added into that equation. And it's like right now, I mean, how many people, I give it another 20 years and pretty much the only people who smoke are going to be like, people who smoke in 20 years are going to be like people who used to smoke weed 20 years ago. You're going to be like, oh, there's that guy and he smokes that weed, you know, and we demonized them. Well, in 20 years, that's the way cigarette smoke, assuming they're not all dead, that's how we're going to view a cigarette. So stay away from him, son. He's a smoker. You know, it's just going to be that unpopular.
You know what I would, what I'd like to see is a thing that we could do, like smoking, that makes you look as cool as smoking a cigarette. And gives you that relaxed, lightheaded feeling like a cigarette. But is not addictive and is not super harmful to your lungs.
Beer.
Beer. That's living the high life. $11 for a hamburger. Y'all must be crazy.
You must be crazy. I don't know what possessed me. I just got on a high life kick lately, so that's pretty much all I've had in the house for about a week.
I'm drinking Bud Light.
There you go.
This is leftover from the family reunion. So.
Change the channel, Marge.
All right, friends. Go to awilliamwright.com to check out Andy Wright's latest works. You got the link to the world of Mebar and the New Aleph, which, by the way, the New Aleph, the acronym is TNA. Oh, yeah.
That's how we like them on the show.
That's right. Go to don'tpanicradioshow.com to listen to all the goodness that is Don't Panic Radio Show. And, hey, why don't you go over to iTunes right now, and if you're an iTunes person, subscribe so that you get all the beautiful, luscious, sweet, buttery episodes in your iTunes feed. And maybe even leave us a little review, like hit the that number of stars thing and like tell people why they should be listening. Mm-hmm. If you know anybody that needs to hear about my good friend Basil, who's in the hospital, and, you know, just share this with him.
That's right.
And pray for Basil. Please, pray for Basil.
Pray for Basil.
Pray for Basil. Save Basil. And that's about all I got. You got anything?
Well, our numbers of downloads and listeners has been going up in the past couple of weeks, kind of steadily. And I just want to...
Just like my dick.
As much as I want to thank your dick, I'm not going to thank your dick. But no, but I would like to thank everybody, the people who are new to it. You know, and obviously we have new listeners because we have our download. You know, as our downloads are going up. So,
right, and I, you know, thank you to our longtime listeners, James and Andy and Paul and Andy. There's more than one Andy. Yeah. Carl, thank you for telling your friends, because the only way those numbers go up is by you guys sharing and liking
right.
and repeating. So thank you for doing that.
I think I'm done.
For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Don't forget, nothing just heard was true. Thank you.
shit.